there. Welcome to Shoot the Flick. I'm Frankie Sparks.
And I'm Scott Eisenberg.
And we are a married couple who like to shoot the shit about movies.
That we do. That we do.
And this week is the start of quite a month we got going on. It's Rocky month, guys. But something tells me it's going to be all the shitty ones.
Well, two.
Two out of three ain't bad, I guess. Well, or it is, depending on who you ask. So we're doing Rocky IV today. Scott showed it to me for the first time. Released in 1985. I'm scared.
But we couldn't do this alone.
No, certainly not.
We had to torture our friend of ours.
A returning guest on Shoot the Flick.
A returning guest. A great wrestling podcaster slash TikToker slash...
Man about town.
Yeah, pretty much. We brought back Richie.
Of Retold and Relive with Richie Marce.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm also a hell of a groomsman, too, as you guys found out.
Yes.
If you remember, I forgot.
We remember. Yeah.
That is true. If anybody needs a groomsman, Richie is available.
Yes, for anyone's wedding on the East Coast.
And I will remember the conga. Y'all still married, so I'd say that's success enough.
Yes, all thanks to Richie Marce.
Oh, boy. But guys, thanks for having me for Rocky Month. And, of course, Rocky IV, the Rocky that ended the Cold War. I'm excited. I'm giddy.
I have to go.
I'm very happy about it. You know, it's great. It's great because this is where I think the media at the time were starting to catch on, hey, most of the Rockies call the same beat by beat path.
They do.
I think this was just more of a neon of like, hey, this is what we're doing right now. Of course, with some 80s cheese, which we love, because 1985 is a great year for movies.
It is.
This is the year of Back to the Future, Scott, my favorite movie of all time.
And now Rocky IV, number two.
Now I'm watching this shit.
Rocky IV is an interesting movie. I was joking with Frankie that Rocky IV and Rocky V are Sylvester Stallone's George Lucas movies. Because just like everyone complains about the prequels, at this point, Stallone is such a big star that no one can say no. No one can tell Stallone, hey, maybe you should rethink that. Nope, we're going to go along with it. Okay, cool. Even though there are still... some highlights in this, I think. I still think Carl Weathers is great.
Well, yeah, but they kill him 20 minutes in, Scott.
Spoilers.
Not only do they kill him 20 minutes in, but for the remainder of the movie, like, once we get to the training shit, it's almost like Apollo was never in the movie. We're just in Russia for reasons, and we're in the snow, and we're running around, and we're fighting the Russian guy. That clearly does steroids and Apollo who? It's like he never died. And you think like that would be made a bigger deal.
But if you think about it, without this movie, we wouldn't have the Creed movies.
True.
You see, this movie's not all that bad, guys.
Okay. I don't know about that.
Okay, before we dive deeper into this, Richie, please plug all your stuff
yes,
for everybody,
please.
Where they can find your stuff, where they can, you know, I know TikTok, but they need to find you.
That's true. You guys could find me every Tuesdays at Wrestling Retold and Relived with Richie Marce on Spotify and the Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts until Google Podcasts is no more. So if you go on there, try to check me out on the other platforms every Tuesday. Scott was on one of my more recent episodes where we went over an Undertaker cinematic match where the match is filmed like a mini movie. So that was all fun. And also Frankie and Scott were very gracious enough to join me for the episode of going on the Edge movie Money Plane with Kelsey Grammer. And we all watched that and we all enjoyed it.
Christ.
To varying degrees.
Oh, yeah. All right. Way to rewrite history there. Rewrite, relive, and revisited with Richie Marce.
And you could follow me on the Instagram and the TikTok. TikTok videos every day on wrestling and whatnot. And that is at Retold Richie Marce.
So this movie was written and directed by Sylvester Stallone. And like Scott was saying, in comparing him to George Lucas, no one could really say no. It's very much, I mean, Rocky movies are always sort of the Rocky show, right? The Sly Sylvester show. But this is very much like a vanity project. It's very much, let's put Sylvester Stallone in several music videos in conjunction with each other and maybe put him in a Lamborghini for one of them, you know, just show off like his muscles and his sexy beard. And then at the end, we'll do a fight and that'll be the movie. And that's what this is.
I'm not complaining about sexy Sylvester Stallone. I'm not sure about you guys. I wouldn't complain about it.
Well, Rocky IV still did make a shit ton of money. On its $30 million budget, it made a whopping $300 million. And it still got a pretty decent Letterboxd score of 3.6 out of 5 stars. However, while the first Rocky film was nominated for 10 Oscars and won 3 of them, including Best Picture, Rocky IV has shockingly no Oscar nominations, but it has a whopping 9 Razzie nominations with 5 wins, including Worst Actor, Worst Director, Worst Score, which this is, I think, the only movie of the Rocky series that wasn't scored by Bill Conti because he went and did Karate Kid 2 instead. This was scored by some guy named Vince DiCola, who the year following this did the 80s Transformers movie score.
Oof.
Which in a way makes sense because one of the only things I knew about this movie going in was this was the one with the robot in it. Yay!
But Richie, have you seen Rocky IV before this?
No, I have not.
Oh no, we've both been graced. Scotty! Both been graced with Rocky IV because of you.
I consider it a blessing.
God.
Oh God. So Rocky IV has always kind of been like a weird thing for me because I love 1, 2, and 3.
Yes, and we've reviewed all of them on the show previously. Just throwing that out there.
Rocky IV is really. It's okay at best if you really want to be like, it's basically a bunch of music videos tied together in a thinly veiled plot. It's divided amongst Rocky fans even. There are people who defend this so vehemently. And there's people who are like me who are like, yeah, it's fine. It's not Rocky V.
Oh no, we'll do that next week.
This really shows a lot of cracks with Stallone. Arguably, he's the biggest star in the world right now, either him or Schwarzenegger. And it's just so interesting watching this, because I've watched this movie a ton of times. But like watching it with Frankie was particularly fun because
Frankie was confused.
Frankie had no idea what was coming.
No, my experience with Rocky, I haven't ever watched a Rocky movie before we did this show. 1, 2 are really good. 3 is like kind of that's when I really started to realize like, oh, all these movies are the same kind of, but that 3 was still good. This one, but yeah, the only things I knew about this going in was robot, Russian, and Apollo dies. That's all I knew. So I was very perplexed for some of it because yeah, like the first third, it's like an actual Rocky movie where like they set up a plot and shit with Apollo fighting the Russian guy, and then he dies, and then the second third of the movie, just like we were saying, turns into a music video montage, and then before you know it, we're at the big boss fight, and it's like, but nothing happened this whole movie, and now we're just here. Okay. And then yeah, the fight ensues, and the aftermath of the fight also is quite entertaining in a not so genuine way, but yeah.
So, Richie, have you seen the other Rockies?
First one I have. The other ones that I haven't really seen all the way through. I've seen bits and pieces. But I do know, like, the beats that come in, you know, like Rocky, underdog, obstacle, bing, bada, boom. That's how you go. Montage, montage, training montage. The 80s were all about montages. This movie, Karate Kid. Training montages, that is the quickest way you could build yourself before the climactic fight. And I will say this about the Rocky IV story. I think it could have landed a little bit better. The pieces are there. It's just that the puzzle wasn't put together enough, if that makes any sense. Because Rocky IV didn't do anything overly bad except the robot. But there are some things that go on a little bit too long. There are things that aren't focused on a little bit enough that I would like to focus on a little bit. Everything happens at the same quick pace, which is good for a fight. And it did feel like watching the movie. It did feel like how today you'd watch like a UFC fight or a boxing fight. Though I will say the boxing scenes in this movie are more real than the actual boxing fights that we have now with Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. But again, this movie is on one speed, and it's either you like it or you don't like it.
That's the other thing about the Rocky franchise in general. After one, I think Stallone has good ideas.
Sure.
I think he just doesn't know how to express those ideas well.
And we'll get into it like in more detail as we go into like nitty gritty stuff. But like, yeah, like when you're watching a movie and you can just in an instant create a better movie in your head, like, and talk about what could instantly make it better, that's probably not the best sign for a movie.
No, it's the ideas. Like, you can, again, you see the framework, as Richie was saying. The framework is there. Mm. After he wins the title in two, three has a decent idea for a framework with, like, oh, now he's the champ, and now you get the new hungry youngcomer. This one, he's the best boxer in the world, and you have this force that he is never, because Rocky's always been one of the strongest fighters, and now he's kind of like dealing with somebody who's even stronger than him. So it's like this whole big thing, like, can he deal with a fighter that can outpunch him? And then you have the whole Russian angle, and I'm like, that's an interesting angle if you could focus on it, because of course in 1985, Cold War, it all makes sense there.
Yeah, I kind of want to like get into, do you ready to get into the nitty gritty now?
I'm ready.
Chop it up. Richie, you ready?
Let's do it. Let's go for the nitty and the gritty.
Oh my God.
We start out with symbolism, an American boxing glove, a Russian boxing glove.
That was so obnoxious. Immediately, like, these two boxing gloves, and you have like the music over it, and they crash together and explode. I'm like, oh no, this is gonna be bad.
Rocky IV is not subtle.
No. I don't think any of the Rockies are really subtle, to be fair.
They had to spoon feed you the message. They were afraid you weren't going to get it.
What is the message of this movie, Scott?
Russians are bad, but they can change.
Okay. God fucking damn it.
America.
America. So we start off with the ending of Rocky III.
Which was great for me. I need a little recap.
Rocky, of course, fights Mr. T. Rocky wins back the title. Everybody's happy.
I was upset that they repeated the whole fight at the end of Rocky III between Rocky and Apollo, and then they still freeze framed it right when at the first punch. I was like, God damn it, we still can't see it after all that buildup? Okay, fine.
Well,
fuck you.
I think it's come out on record, or at some point Stallone said, and I think it's hinted at this movie, that he loses this fight.
Well, yeah, because he's got a black eye.
And Apollo's perfectly fine.
Uh-huh.
And we quickly fast forward to Rocky's mansion for Paulie's birthday.
Fucking Paulie. Played once again by Burt Young.
And Rocky got Paulie a present. Richie, what did Paulie get for his birthday?
Oh, well, not only did he get a birthday cake, he got a robot to match.
You hate it.
When I was watching it, I was like, did I put on Short Circuit? Because it looked like the Short Circuit robot. And I was like, oh, this is Paulie's robot.
It's so bad. Like, it enters and then the score of it is so like, like, we're literally in the Transformers movie. Like, it has a male voice and then a couple scenes later it comes back. It comes back. I thought it was just this one scene for Pauly's birthday.
Nope.
No, it continues to come back multiple times in the movie, but it comes back at a later point and it's got a female voice. So I guess it's like Pauly's wife now. And it's just scary. Why did we do that?
I know that Stallone has gone on record that he's trying to release a recut of this movie.
Without the robot?
Without the robot.
Oh, but it makes the film, doesn't it?
Without the robot, we don't get Creed. The robot is the butterfly effect.
Stop it. It's like Sly Stallone was trying to do comedy, but doesn't know how to do it. So there was like one particular scene where they're having like a serious conversation about Apollo fighting the Russian guy. And they're just sitting in the house having like a real conversation. And then all of a sudden the conversation stops because the robot enters and has a female voice. And they're like, oh, Pauly, you gave the robot a lady's voice. You're such a scamp. And then the robot leaves. And then literally the movie is just like, okay, back to the conversation. Like, just continuing like that never happened. It's like Sylvester Stallone does not know how to write comedy.
The best part, no. The best part of that scene is Carl Weathers' face after the fact. Because
like,
he doesn't.
What the fuck am I in?
He almost doesn't know how to go back to the original point of the scene.
I just don't think they told Carl Weathers, period, the robot was in the movie. They're like, all right, Carl, this is going to be a big monologue for you. It's going to be very heartwarming. It's going to be your last fight, but there's going to be a surprise. You're not going to know what it is until we hit record. And then the robot comes in. And then Carl's like, he's like, this is the movie I'm dying in. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. Even in his head back then, he was probably like, oh, at least it's not Rocky V. At least it's not Rocky V.
I doubt they thought they were making a Rocky V. This seems like it would be a good place to end. But then like, oh, wait, we made money. Let's make one more. And then they made one more. And supposedly that's the worst one. I'm sure it is. Because, I mean, by everything Scott said about it.
That's the only Rocky movie I have watched. Only two times.
Well, there's about to be a third. Third time's a charm, as they say.
Oh, okay.
But let's not talk about that yet, Scott. No, let's stick to Rocky IV. Speaking on Apollo, as Richie was talking about, it's just so fucking good. It's so insane how good he is. And it's like the Russian guy, Ivan Drago.
It's Drago.
Dolph Lundgren comes into town. And he's like, I'm hot shit. I may or may not be on steroids, but who cares? I can punch through a brick wall, literally, or something. Like, I can kill you, bitch. I must break you. And so all this hype, and Brigitte Nielsen's his wife, and she's there being all Russian-y. And he's there being all Russian-y. And Apollo's like, they call out Rocky, but Rocky's like, nah, I'm good. So Apollo's like, I'm going to fight him. And they set up this whole exhibition fight in fucking Vegas. James Brown is there. It's fucking crazy. But yeah, he has this speech right before the fight. Such a fucking good speech. And it's like, you wouldn't think he's dying in this movie because he's really giving it 110%. He's just killing it.
You and me? We don't even have a choice. See, we're born with a killer instinct that you can't just turn off and on like some radio. We have to be right in the middle of the action because we're the warriors. And without some challenge, without some damn war to fight, then the warrior may as well be dead, Stallion.
Well, also Rocky just going to Apollo saying, you know, you don't have to do this. But I'm just like, they just set the whole thing up with the press conference and everything. And now the day of the fight, you decide that's a good idea to say. You know how to do.
It's like you're saying this now. We're about to go out there, man. But I love Apollo in this.
Carl Weathers is an underrated actor.
He's just
in
fucking
general.
Great. I miss him. He said one line in the press conference that killed me. He's like, I've retired more men than the Social Security. I was like, this is great. And he got like a fucking hyped up fight with fucking Drago in the press conference. And he's like, he turns to Rocky at the end. He's like, did I do good? He's like, a little over the top, but you did good. I was like, oh, yeah, this is good.
Well, even if you go back to the original, he knows how to sell a fight. But yes, I wanted to talk about, Frankie mentioned Drago hits like a brick wall. They say he averages 1,850 pounds of force, PSI, pounds per square inch. I was doing just light research. The average boxer can hit about 700 PSIs. So this man can hit over two times.
But were they juicing, Scott? Not like Ivan Drago.
Not like Drago.
Not like He-Man. No, no.
Yeah, that was a big thing back in the 80s and even going into the 90s, just the steroids in general. And it was frowned upon and looked down upon. It's still like looked down upon today, but especially back then, if you were on steroids, you were blacklisted from any competition. Like, look what happened with Mark McGuire. Look what happened with Sammy Sosa. Look what happened with Hulk Hogan, somebody from the last Rocky movie. Granted, that's not the worst thing Hulk Hogan has done.
But hey, he got hit with a chair by Paulie, I think, in Rocky III. So that's cool. Surprisingly, though, Paulie later in the movie has an even better moment than that. I was like literally jaw on the floor. We'll talk about that when we get to the end. But yeah. This movie's got little surprises for you, from the robot to a speech about changing Russians.
Yeah, Apollo does play the old veteran trying to have that one last
hurrah
moment. Mm-hmm. And like, even Adrian's like, why are you doing this?
She's like, this is a bad idea.
Like, Adrian's always great.
Talia Shire's the queen, I gotta say.
She looks at Apollo and goes, you have nothing to prove. You haven't fought anybody for 5 years. You're going to fight a guy who can punch through a brick wall, basically? Like, what are you doing? The speech Apollo gives about, like, we're warriors. That's, I think, a lot of people's mindset in, like, fighting, sports, any competition. They're like, once I'm done, I'm done. There is nothing afterwards. That's why a lot of these guys stick around way too long.
Yeah, it gets to a point where you as a fan are like, all right, you've done enough. You have nothing else to prove, but it's not about proving it to the people out there. It's about proving it to yourself, which is a nice kind of way to kind of wrap around at least Apollo's story arc throughout all the Rocky movies, because he was always about, you know, the fame, the bombasticity, the showmanship of it all. But this is his one moment where he decides for himself that this is how he wants to go out in the sword. It's not about just the pageantry. It's about how he wants to finish his career. And if that costs him his life, it costs him his life.
If he dies, he dies.
Well, that's Drago saying that.
Yes. So we get to this Vegas fight.
Oh, hey, James Brown. Seeing Living in America while fucking Apollo's got the top hat, the American top hat, and the fucking shorts on.
I do love how they're promoting it on like random papers, because there's some random weird fade-ins and fade-outs in this.
Oh my god, at least the first half of the movie. I feel like the second half they don't do it as much. Because the second half is mostly, it's like...
montage?
Yeah, montage and fight at the end. But the first half of this movie, like, every scene change, it's a freeze frame and then a fade in. And I'm like, okay, can we not... stop doing that. This is not actually a music video.
But, yeah, they're promoting the fight. Red Star versus Old Glory.
Superman versus Super Hype. I was like, oh, that's mean.
But, yeah, James Brown introduces Apollo. Apollo's messing around and Drago has like looks like he's lost.
Drago doesn't know what the fuck is going on, and the announcer guy is just sitting there like, I cannot believe the size of this Russian. And I was like, okay, what a statement.
Dolph Lundgren's a fucking rocket scientist. That's not even the joke. He has a degree in like rocket science.
I did not know that. Star of Kindergarten Cop 2?
Yes.
Rocket scientist, you don't say.
And guest star of Arrow season 5.
Oh, God. One of the stars of every Expendables movie?
Isn't every action star from the 80s a guest star in an Expendables movie at some point?
Yeah, but he's in everyone. He's like one of like the main side characters. But digress. We get this fight. Apollo versus Dolph. Apollo, he's dancing around. He's jabbing. And it quickly turns into he gets the living shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, it was hard to watch.
It's a rough beating. And Stallone's like, yeah, we should end this. And he's like, no, I gotta finish the fight. And an idea of doing what Apollo wishes and not throwing in the towel and then feeling guilty about that is a good idea.
Yes, but they don't address it at all in the movie, which is weird. Because in the first Rocky movie, he had emotional moments. And like in the other ones, he had emotional moments. You know, they had fucking Adrian in a coma at one point. They had fucking Mickey dying. Just a lot of shit going on. So you'd think that like this character who's been in the franchise from the beginning dying a pretty brutal death, you would think you'd want to address that in some sort of capacity. I'm not saying you have to like make every scene like a big crying scene or something, but just like something, a scene addressing it like directly, like the aftermath of his guilt or any. No, let's just work it out in a montage. That's basically what the answer to every question in this movie is.
Well, during the fight when Drago gives Creed that final blow, and you just hear someone, it's an exhibition fight, it's supposed to be an exhibition fight, and meanwhile he's getting like just pulverized by this, and when he's finally down, and then you see the towel drop by Stallone, and then you have all these reporters and newspapers about people like surrounding Creed's body.
That was fucking insane. Like, I
was just like, okay, it's like the commentator's like, he could be seriously hurt right now. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, he's dead.
You think so? Fucking move.
He's dead, and everyone's like crowding him, trying to like give interviews, and Rocky's like, oh, no interviews, please. And I'm just like, I'm like, well, no interviews, please. I get this man medical attention. Why don't we just do it? You get him help. He needs help.
That was fucking crazy.
Like, if this happened in the real world, like, I don't think, like, everybody would just, like, kind of, like, bum rush the ring like it is if someone was, like, seriously hurt.
Yeah, no. And it looked like they all went running at the same time, too. It's almost as if there was a director of some sort on the side telling all these people, okay, now when I say action, you all rush the stage, or rush the ring, excuse me, at the same time.
It almost looked like the reporters, they had, like, the fisheye lens camera on them. At least that's how it was in my mind, where it's like they were zooming in on them trying to get a word with Creed when, you know, he's obviously been dead. I don't think you can get a comment from him. He's no longer of the living. Like, it's a very powerful shot with Rocky holding Creed's body. Mm-hmm. And that's what this movie is good at. It can give you powerful moments. It's just not weaved in such a way where it's tight enough to make it mean more, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It, like, they have powerful moments that there's a good Rocky movie in here that's on par with the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I contribute it to a lot of it connecting, trying to be an 80s movie as well. So that's why you get a lot of music video stuff. You get a lot of flash editing. You get a lot of things that weren't previous in the other Rocky movies.
That makes sense. Yeah, it definitely does feel like that. It also feels like maybe it was a bit of a vanity thing for Stallone also, just because he was such hot shit at the time, and he probably felt like he didn't have to put in as much effort to get the same result, because Rocky and Stallone in general were such big names.
I almost wanted at one point, though, in one of Apollo's speeches, maybe even the one where he's like, Rocky's like, hey, we can postpone this thing. I almost wanted a callback to Rocky III, where Apollo goes,
There is no tomorrow. That was such a fucking good scene in Rocky III. Also, like, when Apollo was saying, like, don't you dare stop this fight to Rocky, I understood what they were trying to do, because in the beginning, like, in one, like, the first movie, right? He told Mickey, like, don't stop the fight. Don't stop it, because he couldn't fucking see. And yeah, Mickey was, like, freaking out. He's like, don't stop the fight. I thought they were going to bring that back eventually and be like, he told me he didn't want to stop the fight. What was I supposed to do? You know, like, in the whole guilt thing like that. I thought they were going to bring back, but they never did. So, yeah, I definitely agree with Richie that there's a better movie in here trying to get out. But it's bogged down by all the Stallone masturbatory music videos.
So Apollo dies. We get one of Drago's big lines of the movie. If he dies,
he dies.
I think that's one of like five lines he has in the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Richie, what do you think of Drago as a villain. Put it in like wrestling terms. He's our monster. What do you think of him as a monster?
I mean, for the time, it's how majority of the villains were, you know, in the 80s, it was all about, at least in wrestling, it was all about the big foreign bad guys. You know, you had Andre the Giant, you had Giant Gonzalez, you had all these like foreign evil menaces that aren't from America, and they're trying to take down the great American hero. At this case was Rocky. And with Drago, they gave him every single thing that you could do in a villain, like steroids, high quality tech support for his body, no emotion, just everything is just Drago. He's like a super soldier before super soldiers were even thought of. And this is the point where I think a lot of people think Rocky jumped the shark, because they legitimately made this man more machine than a human being. And the fact that he has all these people behind him, it's Rocky against a nation, pretty much, is how they're picturing it. So Drago by himself is fine. It's just he's not three-dimensional, you know? He's two-dimensional, and the other dimensions are his surroundings, being, you know, the steroids, the scientists, the people that are talking for him. So Drago himself is fine. It's just that he's surrounded by these other factors that don't make him that much of a dynamic character.
You're 100% right with Drago. Of the first four antagonists of Rocky, he is the weakest of the four. And that's one of my major problems with this movie. Even as a fan of Rocky, Drago's boring. And the thing is, Stallone was the biggest action star in the world, Stallone isn't a great talker. He's a great force on screen. He's got the X factor. He's got that. But like, what makes Rocky 1, 2, and 3 so much more interesting than 4 is he has Mr. T and Apollo to bounce off of in those movies. And they can carry what Stallone can't.
Well, also with Drago in general, Drago doesn't care or have a goal in mind. With Apollo, it was about defending his championship. With Mr. T, it was about getting, you know, that championship, that spotlight from Rocky. With Drago, there is no set goal that he has. There's no mission for him. It's all about being manufactured by his team. We don't know.
Say, he's very much about the committee, like the Russian. He's more of a symbol just for Russia in general, I think.
Yeah, it's like for a more recent example, it's kind of like that Falcon and the Winter Soldier Captain America that they did for a while. It was just a mantle, just to put him on a mantle, and that's what they had Drago in. So there is no character, pretty much. He does have the most memorable line in the movie, which I think is a testament to his longevity as a character and his memorability, but it has nothing to do with him as a character, period. It just is him as the force, not the character.
He does grow a lot in Creed 2, but that's because it's directed and written by Ryan Coogler, who is one of our better directors.
Yeah, he's fucking
right now.
Ryan Coogler. It's different. But after Apollo's death, we get Rocky setting up a sort of revenge fight with Drago, and immediately I'm annoyed because he sets this whole thing up. He's gonna fight Drago in Russia on Christmas Day, and he sets all this up like it's not a big deal, like he didn't just kill a guy. And he does all of it without telling Adrian, so Adrian is completely blindsided by this whole thing. And at one point he comes home and Adrian and him are fighting about it. And I feel like they have the same argument every fucking movie now. It's like, Rocky, you don't have to fight. You don't have to do this. No, I have to do this. I'm a man. I'm a fighter. I got to do it. No, but Rocky, what about me and your son and your life here? And he's like, this isn't about that, Adrian. It's about being a man. Okay. And then he leaves in his Lamborghini and we get the first of many, many, many music videos and montages. And I feel like that's supposed to be our emotional hook for the movie now. even though we have a much more important emotional hook, which is Apollo. But like, I feel like Sylvester Stallone probably thought like, no, this is an easier one that I can handle because I've done the same fucking emotional hook and fight with Adrian 17 times throughout the series. So let's just do it again. And then they do it again.
But also, this is the scene that directly influences the Family Guy skit.
Oh, God.
Where Adrian goes,
because she says you can't win.
You can't win. And he goes, you can't win, Rocky. You can't go fight on Mars.
Well, now I'm going to have to put in the clip, asshole. Okay.
Rocky, please don't go to Mars and fight the Martian.
I got
to
do what I got to do.
But there's no oxygen on Mars.
Yeah, that means there's no oxygen for him either. That Martian wants a fight, he'll get a fight.
You can't win, Rock. You're 60 years old.
I also didn't love how they went from this really emotional moment, because that was a thing too. She says, you can't win, Rocky. And he's all like, well, you know, you said I can't win. And he's all sad and shit, and it's emotional, and he walks out. And then there's no like transitional period. It's just like, I'm sad. And then I'm in the Lambo and I'm driving. Like, there's fucking like cheesy 80s song playing over me as I'm speeding through the, it's like, what? It was very quick. I got whiplash almost from the shock of it all.
So Richie, what'd you think about this Lamborghini commercial?
Oh my God.
Yeah, you know, it's an 80s thing, just kind of like big emotional thing followed by music video. And with Rocky's argument with Adrian, I feel like another layer to it is like, it's more of a lot of different things, because he had to give up the championship in order to do this unsanctioned fight, which unsanctioned means doesn't count towards his record. He's not really going to do anything for this. This is just about pride, which shows how much his friendship with Creed actually was, that he would give up literally the biggest thing in boxing in order to avenge his friend's death. So it's a little muddy, but it's like, we get there when we get there.
True. There's two really great songs in this. This is one of them, No Easy Way Out. It's not up to Gonna Fly Now or
No,
Eye of the Tiger.
No.
But it's still a fun song.
Yeah. Well, one of them was written by the guys that did Eddie and the Cruisers, so your dad will be thrilled. Go listen to our Eddie and the Cruisers review. But yeah, it's all very like subpar, you know. It maybe be different if the songs were like Eye of the Tiger, Gonna Fly Now level, but you know, it's like one of the cheesier 80s songs that have been in existence, where they just kind of say the same line over and over, and it's like a hyped up, you know, like, yeah, kind of line. So you're like, okay, you're hyped a little bit, but like, it's just the same line 20 times in a row.
There's no easy way.
At one point I was like, what's this song called? It's like, it's called No Easy Way Out, because that's all they say in it. Oh man. And then at one point the montage isn't even really about anything. It's like, at first it was clips of him and Apollo. Then it was clips of Adrian. Then it was just random clips of random shit from all of the movies. And it's like, what is the theme of this montage?
His life is flashing before his eyes.
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
He can die Richie's here, Frankie.
Being, yeah, all right. Well, then don't go to Russia.
He's got it, Frankie. Oh, there's no God. Easy way out.
Get the fuck away from me.
Does this technically make it a Christmas movie, Scott?
Does it? It's probably, yeah.
By the Die Hard rules, it's Rocky IV is a Christmas movie.
By my rules, because there's themes of like, I don't know, family or whatever in it, right? Because he abandons his family to go to Russia. And then there's a song in it. And like, there's a tree. Song. Yeah, there is. They sing a Christmas song at one point in it on the radio, and they're at the cabin or whatever.
Oh, that's right. I forgot they do that.
And then, yeah, and then it takes place on Christmas. And then at the end with Rocky's speech about like Kumbaya. Yeah, sure. It's a Christmas movie. You heard it here first.
So Rocky takes Paulie, an Apollo's old trainer, and he goes.
Duke.
Yes, he takes Duke and goes to Russia.
As you do.
Duke actually has moments in this movie which made me happy, because he's been in like every movie but he doesn't do anything, and then this one, because Apollo's gone, he like gets a moment. He's like, you know, I loved Apollo like a son. And then when they go in the Drago fight, like, he's like fucking hyping Rocky up like really good. I was like getting into it because of Duke. I want to give him his credit.
Well, even during the Apollo fight where he's yelling at Stallone to throw in a towel.
He's like, what the fuck are you waiting for?
We learned that as Stallone rented a cabin in Russia where he's going to train for a month up to this fight with Drago, we get, again, another montage.
This is the training montage house. We get like minute breaks where Rocky has like a talk with Duke, and Paulie bitches and moans about how there's no internet or TV or whatever the fuck in the fucking place. And then when Adrian finally comes back, he's like, I miss you, Rocky. And Rocky, with his like sexy Russian beard, he's like, I miss you too. And then they, you know, kiss and make up, and then immediately go back to another training montage. So that's the vibe we're in here.
But also, as Richie said, with Drago being scientifically built, you have Drago training with all machines in the gym, you got Rocky fighting the elements, lifting rocks, trees on his back, climbing a mountain, because he can't just climb the Philadelphia stairs anymore.
He climbs a mountain and just screams Drago. For the first time he screamed, I'm like, what did he say? And then he's like breathing heavy. I'm like, I didn't hear what he said. And then he screams it again. And I was like, oh, Drago. Okay, got it.
So the moral of the story is, if you hate someone so much, climb a mountain and just scream their name, because that will solve majority of your angst. But I do like the theme here of Drago being scientifically enhanced, and you see like the shots and the close-ups of the syringe and the needle of the steroids, and Drago's not reacting, and Rocky's is more like, you know, mundane, like chores, helping the community around him, you know, the farmer walk, the chopping wood.
Rocky's the people's champ.
People's champ, you know. God. Let's see what you did there. And of course, like the whole Adrian coming there, you know, it's like it happens every Rocky movie. I gotta do it. No, don't do it. But I gotta do it.
I'm sticking by you, Rocky, no matter what. And then we're like, well, where's your kid? Where'd you dump the kid?
It's being taken care of by Paulie's wife, the robot.
Merry Christmas, son. I'm not there for one of your happiest days of life.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, son. Me and your mother both abandoned you. Merry Christmas. Why would you schedule it for Christmas?
Because you gotta make it a Christmas movie.
You're a bad dad. Like, why? You could have scheduled it for any time. And you did Christmas. When you have a kid who's like, I mean, he looks like 7 or 6 in this, little Rocky Jr. So like, why'd you do that?
You know, this movie is more fun if you imagine that Money Plane was happening chronologically at the same time.
Like, the flight that Rocky took to Russia is the Money Plane.
It is indeed the Money Plane.
Yeah. Oh my god, that was a great sentence. You could have just edited there. You know, this movie is funny when you think Money Plane.
So the fight is here.
Can we just keep talking about Money Plane?
You want to talk about Money Plane again?
I don't know. I'd rather talk about this.
So we're at the fight. Gorbachev is here.
Oh my god, I can't. Yeah, by the time we got here, I felt so very empty. I was like, oh, I feel like we're missing things. Like, should we? It felt like nothing happened really between Apollo's death and this fight. Like, nothing. Obviously, a million montages happen. And, like, that's okay for the montages to happen because they are part of the, not only the 80s movie thing, but also the Rocky movie thing. So, like, yes, have your montages, Rocky. Get swole. But, like, also give us a little, like, something to chew on emotionally to, like, anchor us to this fight. Because by the time we get to the fight, you don't feel like this is for Apollo, really. You don't. The spirit of Apollo was already long gone from the movie, it feels like, by then. Because they don't even mention him. After that one talk, when they first get to the cabin between Rocky and Duke, and they briefly talk about Apollo, and then after that there's like nothing, and it's a very brief conversation, so it's like it's very empty. But the craziest thing that I've ever experienced in any of these movies happens. Rocky, Adrian, and Polly are walking up the hallway to go into the arena, and Polly turns to Rocky, tears in his eyes, and says,
"I know sometimes I act stupid and I say stupid things, but you kept me around, and other people would have said, drop that bum. You give me respect. You know, it's hard for me to say these kind of things because that ain't my way. But if I could just unzip myself and step out and be someone else, I want to be you."
That's it. Like, he doesn't have some smart ass remark. He doesn't give a side eye to Adrian. And he turns around, just they keep walking. They have a nice, "Oh, thanks, Polly. You know, oh, I love you, man." And then they go on, and I'm like, my mouth is agape. I'm like, did Polly just have a genuinely nice moment? Excuse me? Did I just feel something nice, like a good moment from Polly? Is this actually Christmas?
It is, technically.
Like I said, Christmas movie.
I was shocked.
Rocky IV is my favorite Christmas Hallmark movie.
Same, hun. Like, literally, I couldn't believe it. It is a Christmas miracle indeed.
So Rocky comes out, and he's being booed
mercilessly.
Thank you.
Go ahead, say it.
I can't.
Just say another word.
Viciously.
Brutally. Yes.
Fine. God damn it.
Passionately. Hatefully.
I'm keeping all of this in. This is too good. Okay, go.
Mercifully. I can't even say it.
Rocky is being booed passionately. God damn it.
I love this. Isn't it so good when your friends are visiting?
It's wonderful.
Virtually.
It's amazing.
Love you too, bud.
So this is another thing that I think could have been touched upon more. Again, Rocky is the unsung hero of these movies. He's the American icon. He is now fighting in Russia. He is the villain. Drago comes out to all the fanfare. People cheer him. Rocky's being booed. And I almost want there to be a moment where he almost doesn't know how to react to this because he's never been booed. Like, he should have a moment where he's like, I have to tune everybody out and just focus on Drago for Apollo. That should be, like, the moment. Like,
right, yeah. And it, like, as you mentioned it last night when we watched it, it would have been interesting to have a moment at some point in the movie, like, experience, like, how the Russian people in general don't like him. Like, it would have been nice if we, like, had a moment where he went into town or something and, like, got heckled or whatever by some Russian asshole. But, like, we didn't get any of that. Again, it's all very surface level as far as the, you know, emotional through line of the movie, I guess.
I do like that Rocky's wearing Apollo shorts. Like, that's, yeah, that's pretty nice. That's pretty cool.
Also, at some point when they're, like, gearing up for the fight, I remember thinking and, like, asking Scott, like, oh, shit, wait a minute. I just realized, because obviously I know he's going to beat Drago because it's a Rocky movie. So I'm like, okay, so after he beats Drago, how is he going to get out of here without getting fucking killed? And then Scott looks at me and he's like, oh, just wait. I was like, okay, I'm scared. He's like, no, it's going to be great. I was like, okay.
You see, that's when the robot comes back and then saves Rocky.
Right? The robot comes back and fucking saves him?
Robot Jesus saves his life.
On Christmas Day.
Exactly.
Aww, it really is a Christmas miracle.
So we get the fight. Drago's in control early, and then Rocky just won't stay down because Rocky never stays down. And eventually he punches Drago in the face and cuts him. And Duke gets a great line. See, he's not a machine. He's a man.
Oh, my God. That was great. I was like, ooh, that's a good one. And he, like, the delivery was really good. I was like, all right, Duke.
And the fight goes like every Rocky fight does. Rocky gets the shit kicked out of him for most of the fight, but he wears down his opponent to the point where he knocks him out in the last round.
By the end of the fight, all of the Russian people in the crowd are now cheering for Rocky, which, yeah, sure. Everyone's on his side now.
I've seen that happen in fighting, though. Crowds are funny. They're very fickle, as people would say. You know, if you, like, get booed out and then you have, like, a good performance, you know, and then you start winning those people over. It's very tough to do, but it is achievable if you give them, like, a show. And that's what Rocky was doing here. You know, he was giving a show that he wasn't, like, this American boy trying to go on Russian soil and beat Russia, just say they did. He just wanted to go in there and fight for his friend, and he just had to do it his own way.
As a wrestling fan, we've seen this a lot of times in things like Rock vs. Hogan, where the audience flipped because Canada is always weird like that.
Yeah, those Canadians.
We love Canada at Shoot the Flick.
We do love Canada.
We do.
I almost want, at the end, I would rather have had, as Rocky knocks out Drago, I would rather had the crowd be silent.
Yeah, that would have been scary. I would have been like, oh, fuck.
Like, the crowd almost doesn't know how to react to this.
Because then it becomes unpredictable, because one, this match is unsanctioned. Two, that means, like, legally, like, everything is kind of out the window. And I think it would be, like, if you really want the 80s cheese on it, you kind of have, like, one person in the crowd start clapping, and then another person start
like
clapping.
Yeah, like a slow clap. Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you have the crowd, like, erupt.
Yeah, that would have been more jarring, and I think that's why they didn't do it, because I think it was going to be too jarring. And I think they wanted to send the message that Rocky's performance was actively winning them over, not just them just kind of flipping on a dime. So I understand why they did the end how they did it.
Yes, but Rocky wins the fight. Everybody's cheering for him. And then suddenly Rocky gets on the microphone.
Oh my God.
One of Stallone's weakest aspects.
I think he improvised this whole thing, didn't he?
I'm sure he did, because it's ridiculous.
I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere. I also read that, like, during this fight scene, Dolph Lundgren and Stallone were hitting each other for real, because that's just how they rolled at that time. They just wanted it to look real and cool and shit. And, like, I think Dolph hit Stallone at one point in the chest so hard that it, like, pushed his heart into his, like, breastbone or something. Like, it fucked him up in the chest. And then he had to go to the hospital, and, like, he was in the ICU for days because he just fucked some shit up. And, like, so they weren't fucking around when they were filming these movies. And I gotta respect that. But at the same time, why make this speech, man? Like, why turn this into, like, an international kumbaya moment when I thought this was just about, like, you know, avenging your dead friend and shit?
To end the Cold War on Christmas.
Not the war on Christmas. What are you, Kirk Cameron?
But honestly, this speech, I don't have a problem with it, like, the idea of it.
Maybe we should have had a second draft of it, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, you know.
It came off pretty much like a first draft of
I'm not saying this speech isn't organized, you know. I'm just saying the message behind it, like, it is a pretty, like, nice message.
During this fight, I've seen a lot of changing. The way you felt about me and the way I felt about you. In here, there were two guys killing each other, but I guess that's better than 20 million.
If I could change, you could change.
And then Drago just runs up and tries to kill him. The whole, like, crowd, the whole Russian crowd just, like, tackles Ivan Drago.
And that's the end of our movie. Our movie's over.
Yay. Oh my God, they obviously do a freeze frame. And, you know, it's Rocky with, like, the American flag in the background. And then they, over the credits, they do, like, a, you know, a montage of stills over, like, a song. And then the first still that came up was fucking the robot. And I was like, I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm out of here, man.
It's like, yep, that's what this movie was all about.
What you didn't know is the robot is actually the main character.
Yeah, what do you think rips off his mask and it's the robot underneath.
What do you think the R in Rocky stands for?
That's his real name, Robot.
And Drago even says during the fight, he's like iron.
I must break you.
Well, he also does say that too. The other great Drago line. But he goes, he's like iron.
He's Iron Man. All makes sense now.
So, Rocky IV. It is a crazy movie.
It's really okay. It's like, whatever.
If the term fever dream was used, it would probably be a fever dream movie because there's a lot of things that seem like it kind of uproots this grounded world that we live in a little bit, you know, especially, you know, with Creed dying and then Christmas and then robots and then montages, climbing mountains, shouting names. You know, it's the perfect encapsulation of the 80s if you really think about it. But as a story, if this is your first Rocky movie, I think you'll enjoy it fine. If you've watched Rocky movies up to this point, I feel like you're going to be like, now it's easier to see the beats of each Rocky movie.
Yeah, this is the first time watching these movies where I was like, okay, this is like the bottom half of the hill. Like, we're starting to go down. Because Rocky III, I liked it a lot, but I also, like you said, I sensed the formula. And it was like, okay, like, we're kind of doing the same thing. And this, again, is the same thing, but also just like with a lot of 80s zhuzh on it. And yeah, some of that's fun in like a campy 80s way. And some of it's, you know, ironically funny. And some of it's genuinely good. So there's a healthy mix of stuff in there. But yeah, I would say I liked it fine-ish. But will I like be like, babe, can we watch Rocky IV again? No.
But Frankie, there's no easy way out.
There certainly isn't. I mean, the only good thing, mercifully, see, I could say words. You're flipping me off right now, you asshole. But the only good thing, mercifully, is that it's only an hour 30. So, you know.
I'd watch this twice over watching Titanic. I'll tell you that much.
100%.
Would you?
Yeah.
Then not a question in my mind.
I think it would depend what mood I'm in.
I would watch this 100 times before I watch Titanic ever again.
If I'm in the mood to laugh, I'd watch this again. If I was in the mood to like be kind of like whatever, or maybe get drunk a little bit and maybe cry, then I'd watch Titanic.
If you had a gun to my head and say, hey, pick Rocky IV or Titanic, well, I'm picking Rocky IV every time.
I understand. Why does there need to be a gun to your head, sir?
Know. Oh, sorry. Fine. Not a gun to hit my head. If you offered me the choice on any given day, if I choose Rocky IV or Titanic, I'm choosing Rocky IV.
What about Rocky V? Rocky V or Titanic? Go. Gun to your head.
Which one's shorter?
Okay. We could pause it and you could answer.
Yeah,
we'll answer that next week. Okay. All right. You think about it because we still have to watch Rocky V. So maybe after we watch it again, you'll have your answer. But yeah, what is our rating of this movie, guys? Scotty, maybe you should go first since you're probably going to have the most favorable out of all of us rating wise.
Okay. I have a double kind of rating for this.
What do you have it as on Letterboxd, Scott?
I have it as a 4 on Letterboxd.
That's insanity, actually.
What? It's the fourth one. 4 for 4.
Richie understands me.
Yeah, well, that's why. Okay, go ahead, Scott. Explain yourself.
It's like a nostalgic thing. I've watched Rocky 1 through 4 a whole bunch of times.
Got it. I'm just joking.
Legitimately talking about it, I know the flaws of the movie. It's probably would be closer to a 3 if I was being analytical about it.
Go with your heart, Scott.
But with my heart, it's a 4.
Okay. Richie, your thoughts?
I mean, I have to give it like at least a 4 because it ended the Cold War.
You know, you fuckers. a bunch of fucking idiots.
The Cold War. Yes.
The two of you.
Well, what else rating do you get? It ended a war, Frankie.
Do we have proof of that? Do we? Do we have, like,
is it still going on now? Is the Cold War still going on now?
Does Rocky Balboa have a Medal of Honor somewhere?
Frankie, is the Cold War still going on now? It is not. It is not. So Rocky IV ended the Cold War.
Oh my god, I'm crying. I gave it a 3 out of 5 because while I don't think it's great, it's fine, and I don't give a shit that it ended the Cold War, it's still not that good.
Frankie just doesn't like Russians.
There was one man that ended an entire war that went on for years, and that man's name is Rocky Balboa. Ended a war single-handedly.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that's,
and
yeah.
And like you said, this speech was improvised, correct? Off the top of the dome. Didn't right. have a game plan.
Uh-huh.
Beat Drago. Gave a speech. Yeah. World peace.
Christ.
And we have a great relationship with Russia to this day.
Right, yeah.
Better than Titanic.
Yeah, no, I'm going to stand by my 3 out of 5. It's the worst one I've seen so far. But something tells me the fifth one's going to be worse. I'm excited to watch the fifth one because I feel like Scott's going to lose his mind. That's going to be fun for me to watch.
Oh, just wait till you guys are on my show and we watch The Marine.
Oh, wait, which one? The Cena one or the Miz one?
Yes.
I'm so excited for that.
Oh, God.
So next week we are going to watch Rocky V to Scott's dismay and see how it holds up in the pantheon of Rocky movies. Will Balboa be ending another world war? I don't know. We'll find out. I think it's going to be a war on the streets because from what I understand it, 5 is the one with the street fight, right?
Yes, it is.
Yay. So exciting. But until then, this has been Shoot the Flick. I'm Frankie Sparks.
I'm Scott Eisenberg.
And I'm Richie Mars.
Make sure you check out Richie's podcast, Retold and Relived with Richie Mars. Lots of wrestling goodness on there. Every Tuesday, make sure you go check it out. And check out our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio, and pretty much anywhere else you can find a podcast. Also, check us out on Instagram and Twitter. And make sure you come back next week for our, I don't know, Scotty, what? What kind of adventure are we on here?
For our really rocky.
Really shitty, apparently. Movie adventure. Oh, no.
Better than Titanic.
No! There's no reason.